Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will gladly turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Terry. Hi, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship, and you're listening to The Pastor Spot. If you'd like to call in tonight for any reason, I'd be glad to take your call. Call in 740-383-9944, and just keep it sweet, calm, and simple, and we'll all get along. I would like to invite you to Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our service times are Sunday morning Bible time is at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30. Sunday evening Bible study, which we're doing a neat Bible study called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And we're doing that now at 6:30. Our youth group is at 6:30 this week. The kids are going bowling. That should be fun. And we have Team Kid every other Tuesday, actually the first and the third Tuesdays of the month, and those are for young people ages 3 through 5th grade. And we have Pizza with Pastor that I host on that same evening during those same hours from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at Sporty's Pizza. So a lot of stuff, a lot of neat stuff going on. Wanted to share that with you. I'd love to have you call in and talk to us sometime. Or if you have any questions, our church phone number is 740-494-2222. Real easy number, 494-2222. I also want to tell you tonight that in the next couple weeks, and I'll announce next week on the show, I will begin live streaming the Sunday morning message on a Facebook page. So probably be on Community Christian Fellowship. And it'll live stream the Sunday morning service, just the preaching part of it. And we'll be able to do that on Facebook, and you can comment right while it's going on. And I think that'll be really cool. Oh, yeah. So I want to let you know that. Hey, I'll tell you what, it's the cheapest way to do it, Terry.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't cost anything to live stream.
Right.
And it's, you know.
See, I see a lot of people are going to that now.
Oh, yeah, you buy a few components and away you go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it works pretty well. And it's live.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it is live and there's no delay.
Yeah.
So I better not be making mistakes.
Yeah.
Better make sure my pants are pulled up.
Yeah.
And don't fall down.
Not exactly.
I'll tell you what, folks, I got to be honest with you, though. I am a klutz. And I trip constantly. So if you want a few laughs, you might want to watch it. You're liable to see me trip over a power cord or something. You know, it's just that's just me, and that's just the way that goes.
Sure.
Hey, good to have you here tonight. I want to talk a little bit about the Bible and about truth tonight and about just some different passages. You know, I hear a lot of people say things about the Bible, and they say things like, well, I only want to believe the words that Jesus said. I don't want to believe the rest of that. If it's the words in red, I want to believe it. Or, you know, I like the New Testament, but that Old Testament doesn't make any sense. And I don't even know, you know, I don't want to listen to the Old Testament. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to Scripture, the Word of God, all Scripture is profitable. And if you don't believe part of Scripture, you might as well not believe any of Scripture. And that comes from God Himself. That it's the whole work. It's not what fits you best. And the truth is that a lot of people say, well, you know, we have this thing out there called easy believism today, cheap grace, where Jesus saved me from my sins. I want to accept that. But, you know, I'll buy into A, B, and C, but I don't want to buy the rest of it because that's just not fitting my lifestyle and what I want to do. And the thing is that we are called to follow Him, to be followers of Christ. We're not called to be followers of ourselves that say, okay, I believe in A, B, or C. And I want to read a few passages tonight, and I will be reading the first couple that actually are Jesus' words, as we say, the words in red, as some people love to hear. And I want to start tonight in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. It says, at that time the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Does that mean that we are to act like a little kid, or we're to go back to a diaper? Or no, what it means is a child is vulnerable. They're humble. Well, some kids are humble, right? But they believe you. My kids trust me intently when they were babies. You know, you see a kid when they get scared, they run right to mom or to dad immediately. Mom and dad says something, it's gospel. They believe it. You can tell them anything, and they believe it. And that's what he's talking about. He says in the next verse, he says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That means that we all can be great. We all, because we have to humble ourselves to God. And go back on verse 3 again. It says, assuredly. In other words, this is the truth, folks. As sure as you're standing there listening to me, Jesus is saying this. I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't leave a lot of room for stubbornness. It doesn't leave a lot of room for me first, or for my ideas, or what I want to do, or my way or the highway, or my way first. It just doesn't. And then it says in verse 5, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. In other words, are you going to receive a child like that? Are you going to take a child in? Are you going to teach them what I've taught you? But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. You know, children are the most blessed thing that we have. And I see so much abuse going on out there today. And it comes in all forms. It doesn't just come in the form of anger and punishment and hurting and those things. It literally comes in all forms. I was talking to a mother the other day who's raising her grandchildren. And she was talking about a little girl that had PTSD. That's post-traumatic. What?
Stress.
Syndrome.
Disorder.
Disorder. Why? Do you know why? Because the things she endured as a baby and as a toddler that were thrust upon her by the places she lived, the people she was around, the shooting galleries. And this little girl will be dealing with it her whole life. These children that are born addicted to drugs and sent home with their family. I don't understand it. But you know what's just bad, Terry? Teaching a child there's no God. Or keeping God from children. See, I believe the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God first and foremost. And it says in verse 6 again, words of Jesus, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I want people that are trying to pull young people away from their faith and teach them wrong things and false things to pay hard attention to that verse, because it's not something I want to happen to you, but it's something that I believe was said will happen to you, that it'd be better for you if something that drastic happened to you. It's one thing to destroy your own life, but to take other lives with you is, to me, the epitome of evil. To the point that he says in here, in verse 8, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better if you enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. What he's saying by that is, you know what, if there's some part of you that's causing you to be this horrible, sinful person, you're better off without it than you are to keep it and look whole. You know, one thing that affects us a lot today is greed and pride and the things we have to have. You know, if your desires to have more and more and more are keeping you from a walk with our Lord and Savior and keeping you from surrendering to Him, it's better that you be dirt poor. The story about the rich young ruler is just exactly that. You know, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Go take everything you have and sell it and give it to the poor. He left sad. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. See, it takes that heart that wants to surrender to God that is so, so, so important. That heart like that of a child, of an innocent child. Another passage I want to read to you. He spake these words. This is in John chapter 8. I'm in verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. And he said to those Jews who believed in him, remember, not all the Jews rejected Jesus. A lot of them did come and believe in him. And it says, he said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Interesting, isn't it? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, there's a whole lot of religion going on out there today that doesn't abide in His Word, and they want to talk truth. They don't know truth because they've never listened, or they don't know His Word. How can you know His Word and not know His Word? Do you know what I mean? Terry, if I was to give you a book and say, Terry, this is my biography, and I hand it to you, and you take it home and put it in a dresser drawer, and then you get invited on a radio program, and somebody says, you know, I want you to tell me all about Pastor Steve Whitaker, everything you know about him, time he's a child till he's older, and you start going and on, telling all about me and all the things that I did and all the things I believed and thought and felt and all these things about my family, and you had never pulled that book out and looked at it, you'd be foolish, wouldn't you? But see, that's what we have today. We have people that are speaking as if they are authorities that have no clue what they're talking about, because they never bother to open the Word of God and read it. But yeah, they want to talk. They read a couple catchphrases. You know, well, Jesus is love. Jesus is compassion. That's right. I love my children. I have great compassion on them. And because I do, I discipline them. And because God loves us, He disciplines us. God sets rules. He sets parameters for a reason. He knows what is good for us and what not. If children don't listen to their parents and do whatever they want to do, they run into trouble. Our Heavenly Father is no different. And we get so caught up in what we want, what we think is what, you know, I'm not giving this up for anybody. God says that's not going to work. God has one way, and it's His way. And I think that we have to understand that and accept it. Men's reasoning, you'll never get to heaven with men's reasoning. There's a lot of that going on today, way too much of it. I'm going to read a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Now, this Paul's talking about, you know, I preached the gospel to you, which is, I'll get to that in a second, and a lot of you believed and you stand in it today. And he says, by which you are, excuse me, am I getting tongue-tied, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you just believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel. That's what He taught them, plain and simple. Christ died for our sin. Why do we want to still hang on to it? I mean, our old nature wants us to do things. But why would we deliberately want to set out on a path to justify any sin? And now someone's going to say, well, Pastor, who says what sin is? That's what I was talking about in the beginning. The Word of God tells you what sin is. Read it. I don't have to tell you. Why should I have to tell someone when they can read it? And I'll tell you something else. If I do talk about it or teach it, and they want to argue that point, you'll have to go to Scripture and argue that point and bring it back to me. Because if an argument to me is not based in what the Word of God said, it's no argument. Because the Word of God is my final authority as a pastor and as a believer. And that's the only place I can argue from. I can't argue about, well, I like this or I like that, or this feels good or that feels good, or why not, what about this, what about that. The truth is we have to trust our Heavenly Father, and we have to trust our Heavenly Father to know what is best for us and trust Him. See, if we don't trust Him, we don't have it. What do you think about that, Terry? I've been sitting here talking and talking. And
no, makes sense.
But it does make sense.
Yeah.
And I think that we live in a time when people have kind of stepped away from that. People have always had differences of opinions, political differences, people, how you handle and how you approach things differently. You and I were talking a few minutes ago about, you know, feeding people and helping people. Mm-hmm. And you know that obviously Jesus over and over again condone doing just that. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he commanded that we love one another. Mm-hmm. But how far does that go? When we talk about loving someone, are we going to go back to the Bible and see how God said to love them? Or are we going to make up in our own mind how the world says to love them? Because, see, when I have to look at how we love someone, I got to get my qualification of that from Scripture. And if you get the qualification from that of people that are godless, that's what you're going to get, and that's why you can't support that. So I think that many times we want to just sit back and listen to what's easy. I really do. I mean, would you say, Terry, that we live in a culture today that is somewhat difficult sometimes? What ways do you notice culture different today than it was when you grew up?
It just seems like now it's just a lot tougher. It's a lot, you know, number one, there's a lot more people that live a lot better, I guess. I don't know if that's what I'm, I don't know if you throw that under.
Socially or financially?
Both, I think.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Has it made them better, people?
In their mind, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you look at the whole social aspect, has it made them better people?
Hmm.
No.
No.
It may have made them feel better.
Yeah.
Or at least temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
What about, do we live in a society today where there's more open doors, where people are transparent, or are there more closed doors?
I think more open doors.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when you say that, I mean, are you talking like opinions, or I mean, what do you? I mean, the way people act, or I mean,
okay. My mom grew up in when my mom was having her children.
Or are you talking about like helping people?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
my mom used to talk about most of us kids in our family, all but one, were born on the west side of Columbus on the short hilltop, not the short. Not the bottoms, but basically in that area, top of the
hill. Yeah.
And it was a very blue collar area,
mm-hmm.
And it was a very churched area. A lot of families. There were churches on all the corners. They went to church. People tried to do what was good for the people around them. And she said, of all the places she lived, she told me this right up until her death when we talked. That was her favorite place. Because people. It was no big deal to knock on the door and borrow a cup of sugar, or somebody had extra of this and they knock on your door, or trading coupons, or borrowing coffee, or helping babysitting kids when someone's in a bind. And everyone trusted everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by the open
door. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was totally different back then.
And today, you know, they're closed doors.
Right.
You go in the house and shut your door.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants bothered.
No.
It's your domain. It's the only domain that you have where someone's not looking at you or watching you or, you know, our society's changed so much. What about work cameras at work? You know, it was just 20 years ago. That would be unheard of. And now every factory out there, everyone's being watched all the time. Walk in any public building or and you see these camera bubbles on the ceiling. You know, there's a lack of trust and for good reason in many cases. So why is that?
I just think now in society that a lot of things have happened. And
but isn't our society better?
Well, better in a sense like better technology-wise and stuff. But I think as people, I don't think we're as good as we were 30 years ago. I mean, as far as trusting and, you know, and that kind of stuff. I mean,
well, we're more educated. We're more diverse.
Yeah.
Women have been empowered much more.
Yeah.
All of those things. Well, if those things were the big evils in our country, which, you know, obviously there were things that needed change there.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if those were the things that were going to make all the difference, why is it that with so much change, we have regressed as a society? Now, I'm not saying those things caused the regression. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is if those were the things that were going to fix it, why are we regressing instead of going forward? I have the answer. And I believe the answer is, to me, is that with all the progression in areas of society, we've regressed in our trust in God. We've regressed in knowing the Bible. We've regressed in churches, in neighborhood churches, in trusting in that way. And as we have regressed in those areas, the attitude of the world comes in. And it, see, the difference between the Bible and the world is so simple. It, when you're a Christian, the Bible tells us less of me and more of him. And to always put your neighbor before yourself. I mean, you see it all through Scripture over and over and over again. I mean, it's always your neighbor before yourself. Love your neighbor. You know, the commandments, and the greatest of these is love, to love your neighbor. Well, in the world's eyes, what the world's attitude is, aside from the Bible, is, you know, get it with all the gusto you can. Just do it. Me first. I'm climbing to the top. All these things. And it's all about me. Well, if it's all about me, how's that going to make society better? It's not. It's a dog-eat-dog stab-in-the-back world out there, and it truly is. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch it from every level. The days are gone when you have a trusted friend at work that you can confide in all the time. Because the first chance they get, in most cases, they're going to throw you under the bus to get a raise. And if they don't have to see you again, that's just fine. I've experienced that. I've been there. And I think most people I know have been there. You're broke. Your heart's broken because someone you thought was a trusted employee, you know, went behind your back and just, you know, and then it happens. That's the world that we live in. But, you know, the truly neighbors caring deeply for neighbors, we do see examples of it. And please don't let me paint with a total broad brush. You know, I still see neighbors that go out and help neighbors and that knock on doors and, hey, could you use these extra? One thing I love to see out in the country, which I see all the time in the late summer and early fall, are people that will just, out there on a bucket at the end of their driveway, will be a bunch of zucchinis and tomatoes with a sign that just says free. That's wonderful. People need to be doing more of those things. But we are so caught up in this me society and my way or the highway that we've kind of gone beyond anything that God ever intended us to be. You know, God intended us to love our neighbor. But see, the thing is, God's definition of love and our definition of love are completely different. You know, love requires a commitment. It requires putting them first at all cost, honesty, pure honesty and truth, sharing with truth. In other words, Terry, say that you're having a lifestyle, a reckless lifestyle. Something I know is going to kill you. But you're just going to do it, and you've got to do it. Well, I can look at it two ways. Man, I really love Terry. He's a great friend of mine. I don't want to upset him, so I'm just not going to say anything. That's society today. Where God would say, If you really care about Terry, you need to sit him down and tell him, look, this is destruction. It's going to destroy your life and destroy your eternity. You see the difference? That's the reason that we're called to be salt and light on a world. We're supposed to be the light of the world for people to see, and we're supposed to be the salt that adds the flavoring to the dull world of the me, 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 me. We're supposed to be the flavoring, the savoring of what's out there. And see, the thing is that today, and in all aspects you see it, you know, there's groups that may say that they're a church. We see this especially in this group called the Westboro Baptist. I'm here to tell you folks, they're not Baptists and they're not a church. They're just a hate group. That's all they are. They adopted a name. They filed for a 501c3 probably and adopted a name. And quite frankly, I think the reason that they adopted the name Baptist so they could tar all the Baptists with a bad brush. You know what I mean? You know, because first thing someone thinks, you mention Baptist. Oh, you're not one of those Westboro Baptists, are you?
Yeah.
Ah, they've accomplished their goal to tear down something good and make it look bad. And we see that out there. We see people that the minute that you say you're a Republican or a Democrat, they paint a picture. And it's a picture that maybe you never gave them. But it's a picture of what others have said. And it's kind of interesting. I was listening to a radio program earlier where they were saying, but the Democrats this and but the Republicans this. That's an awful broad brush, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very broad brush.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a comment, you know, well, if why didn't the Republicans do this when they had controls of both House? You know why? The reason they didn't was because they weren't all the same. See, there were people within the party that felt differently than other people, so they didn't get it passed. You know, it's not a matter of when we send people to represent us in the government. It's not saying, look, we expect you to be all exactly the same and vote as a bloc. Well, that's not representing me. That's representing a party. And we say that we want people to represent us individually, but then when they are individual and something doesn't happen as a block, we paint them all with the same brush. That's not fair. You know, the reason that a lot of the things the current president didn't get passed when he had them both was because there were people in his party that didn't agree with some of it. And the reason on the other side that when they can't get things passed all the time is because some of them don't agree with the status quo of what's going on. That's the way it's supposed to work. You see what I mean? You know, we're not drones out there. We're not people that are controlled by a puppet master. We shouldn't be anyway, especially if we're in Congress. You know, I love to see lively debate in politics, especially between two people in the same party. That's real fun to watch. And it should be fun to watch. It should be a good debate where ideas are put out there, and then you and I are allowed to sit and listen and decide where we're at. But with me as a Christian, I have to take everything that's said and policies that happen, I've got to take it back to the Word of God, and I've got to qualify it there. You see what I mean? Because that's what he calls us to do. Because back in this other passage we were in, and when he said in Matthew chapter 18, that surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest thing in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about humbling himself to God and what God says. And so I've got to look at what God says. He says, whoever believes in me and my word, we have to follow his word and believe it. We can't pick and choose what we're going to believe. You know, this is Black History Month. And Martin Luther King was a whale of a man. I'm just here to say that. And I have read a lot of his works. I've listened to his speeches. I'm a history buff. So one thing that goes right through me, I mean, it just zips through me, is when I'm listening to a radio program or a TV program or anything else, and people start misquoting the truth on history. Because that just fires me up. Because I, you know, when you study history and you know it, and you know somebody's lying or they're twisting, it just kind of sends you to the moon. But Martin Luther King I think that today in a lot of politics of people that support and talk about him, he would be ashamed of them. Because a lot of what he stood for is not being paid attention to today. You know, Martin Luther King was literally about unity and not about diversity. Right? I had a dream that all men, remember that? I see so much diversity in our politics today. And it's on both sides. It's horribly on both sides. And that's not what he intended at all. To the point that if someone was listening to me say this, they may get angry and say, you have no right to talk about Martin Luther King. You're a white man. Wait a minute. No, I'm a man. And he was a man. He's a man that believed in God. And he believed we were all created equal. And we are equal. It's time to be equal. It's time to quit blaming each other. You know, I'll be honest with you. We have parts in our history that really bother me. I think the people that, what people really forget, we have used racial division as such a political pawn in this country for votes. Isn't that disgusting, Terry? Now think about that a minute. We read this passage about being like a child, being that innocence and humbling ourselves before God. But then we've got people that instead of in the bottom of their heart wanting to come out and say, we've got to repair everything we can in this country to have love and show each other love and caring and all these things, that for political purposes stir the pot constantly, don't they? Huh? It's constantly being stirred. Man against man against man. Because, see, if I can get you on my side, I've got somebody else on my side. You see where I'm at? And it's a sad deal. It's a sad thing. Because the hatred that I hear is insane. How can people be spewing hate and calling another group a hate group? That one really confuses me. Folks, it's out there on both sides. I watch it. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. You know, and if you all will stop and just listen for a minute. Now, and everyone can do this. Just listen to a minute. When someone says something on the news or on TV or radio show or whatever they are, ask this question. Is that unifying or is that dividing? Is it divisive or is it going to bring us together? That's what you got to ask yourself. When you start saying the Republicans this, the Republicans that, Republicans this, you're dividing. When you start saying the Democrats this, the Democrats that, you're dividing. You understand what I mean? Although one party may stand more in one side than the other, stop it. You know, this is how we come together and understand. You know, we need to, as believers out there, and I'll talk to you believers, you Christians out there, we need to come back to the Word of God for our truth and stop just jumping into a party and whatever the party line is, just following it. We need to go back to the Word of God. Let's shake things up out there. Let's shake up the world up there. Let's go back to God for a minute. And what does God say? I want to tell you something. If we went back to the Word of God right now and started truly believing it, those of us that say we believe it and doing what it says, we'd rock both worlds. We would rock both worlds. And I'll tell you something else. We would not be standing firmly in any part, either party right now. It wouldn't be there. Because neither party is submitting itself to the love of our Almighty God. And this country, whether you people want to believe it out there or not, it was founded on this very thing. And it truly was. Now, because of our freedoms, and because of our freedom and our liberty that we were given, we are free to worship however we want to in this country. And I have no right forcing this Word of God on you. And I don't believe that's what Christians want to do. The truth of the matter is, we were told to, you know, in Matthew 28, what do you tell the disciples? To go to the entire ends of the earth and share the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. Why do we do that? Do we do that because we want to build our church congregations and bring in more money? Do we do it because we want to have political control? Do we do it because we want to? No, that's not why we do it. People might say that. The truth of the matter is we do it because we believe the only way that we're ever going to have an eternity in heaven is to walk with our Lord and Savior, and we want everyone to know that love and freedom. You know, one of the problems that pastors have, I don't know if you call it a problem, maybe it's just a situation. We stand in the pulpit on Sunday, and we know the things that we say are true, and we know the things that we can tell people that will turn their life around and give them joy and happiness and peace and a life worth living and all these things, and we preach it and we preach it and preach it, and just it's just like, please, will you people please listen to what's being said, because I want them to be happy. It's not because I don't want them to worship me. I don't want their money. I don't want anything like that. All I want is for them to know the truth, because the truth will set them free. And to accept that truth and know it. But yet we've got, oh my word, those crazy Christian evangelicals. I want to tell you something. I hope when you get to Heaven's Gate, if you get there, you don't tell Jesus about those crazy Christian evangelicals, because he's the one that told us to do it. Now, there's people that may come in that name that maybe aren't doing it. And I want people to understand something. I can be very firm on what I believe according to the Word of God. Folks, it doesn't make me a hater. The haters are those that refuse to accept what someone else says as their right to saying it. And we're seeing a lot of that today. You know, I was watching a video today of some people holding signs along the road, and another group came in and just started knocking them down and ripping the signs out of their hands. I'm not going to tell you which side it was. It's not important. The thing is, there's the hate. It wasn't the ones holding the signs that were hating. They have a right to do that. They had an opinion, right? It's the ones knocking them down that are the haters. And calling them haters and then knocking them down. Now, that's the whole point in this country. We are allowed to have open debate without being mocked and made fun of. And you know, that needs to stop. How am I going to get anyone to listen to me if I make them hate me first? Think about that a minute. They're not going to listen to anything I say. You know, but it is, I will tell you, as a pastor and as a Christian and a follower of Christ, it is important to me that I tell people when things are wrong, when they need to change something in their life. And a lot of people say, well, the Bible says not to judge. I think they need to read that passage a little closer. It's about judging people when you're not willing to be judged by that same mark. It's about having your own problems deeper than what you're putting onto somebody else. And sharing the truth of the Word of God is not judging anybody. I've told people this before. I was preaching a message one time on a certain subject, and someone said afterwards, you know, you don't have a right to judge me that way. I said, I'm not judging you that way. God is. I'm reading directly from the Word of God. If you don't want to buy that, take it up with him, not me. But as a pastor and a preacher of the gospel, I have to take what he says and give it to you. Otherwise, I'm what is called a false prophet. A false prophet is someone that teaches something other than what the Word of God says. And I fear that we have way too many false prophets out there today that are claiming to be God's man of the hour, and that's not what they're doing, because they're not preaching and teaching what God says. And they're in the church. They're in the world. I said, talking to a pastor one day several years back, and I hadn't been to this church in years since I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was surrounded by cornfields. It was a new church surrounded by cornfields. When I went back there and was talking to this pastor, had nothing to do with church. It was just one day during the week that I stopped in, and it's a long story, but anyway, I look around and the housing developments are literally pushing on the sides of the church property, right? And I said, hey, I said, you guys got a great outreach here in the community, right? And he goes, well, not really. We're thinking about maybe asking them if they want to use our soccer field, maybe host some games there. I thought, are you kidding me? Jesus told us to go to the ends of the earth and reach people? And all these houses have been built around you, and you haven't been knocking on doors telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. You haven't been meeting the needs of the people in this neighborhood? That's not what God teaches us. Right? I want to tell you blacks and whites out there, I got news for you. You better start loving each other, because in heaven, you're not going to have your own neighborhoods. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to have your own lingos. White people talking one way, black people talking another. We're not going to be blaming anything on each other. The blame is going to be gone. Are you sure that's a place you want to go? Think about that. Why do you want to go somewhere where it's not what you enjoy? Because I'm telling you, a lot of people in the church today calling themselves Christians on both sides of the fence and in the different denominations and race groups and whatnot, they don't appear to me to have any love in their heart or desire to love anyone, because all they want to do is point a finger. And I just don't, I don't get it. I just really don't get it. Unfortunately, because of where we are in our neighbor, in the rural community that we're in, we don't have a great black population in the church that I'm in. But I can tell you something right now. I know everyone in our congregation, and boy, would they welcome it. But see, there's not a lot of racial diversity in our community. It's not because people don't like black people. It's because the people there are people that are the result of farming and all those things that went around there that were white communities, you know. They weren't, you understand what I mean? Now, there are some black people in town, and they're well-loved. Just like I shouldn't even point them out, because they're like everyone else. No one even looks at them differently. You know what I mean? They're part of the community. Now, if I get into a inner city area, you know, I might have a group of a neighborhood that's mostly black for whatever reason. But I would hope that I could have 20 white families show up one Sunday and they'd be thrilled to see them come in the door. You see my point? It's got to be the same way. We have talked in our deacons and elders meetings, we've talked about, wow, it would be nice if we had more culture in our church. But we're a farm community. We do have some culture. We're made up of about people from the backgrounds of every denomination you can imagine. They're not cut and dry the same. But because of where we are, but it's not because we desire to be divided. You see what I'm talking about? But we need to be willing to have to come together under the word of God. Stop this division garbage. I get tired of hearing it. It drives me nuts. And the very people that are, I don't get it, Terry. I just don't.
I don't understand it.
I don't. I talk to people out there in the world, and they tell me they want the same thing, and with their actions, they do the exact opposite. And I don't understand it. I can't say we could make such a better world. Through God, we can make a better world. And that's how we do it. And we can love the people that don't know God. And we can love the people that say they don't want to know God. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us not to love people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to love people and care about them. Loving someone does not mean that everything they do is right. We do not have to agree with what everyone does if we love them. That's just crazy. You know what I mean? Mm. I can love you and not believe in half of what you do, but it doesn't mean I don't love you. Right? You come to Jesus the way you are. You don't clean up and come to him. He loves you anyway. Terry, I've been on it tonight. I guess I'm going to have to go home and eat dinner with my wife and cool off. Hey, you guys out there, do me a favor. Keep me in prayer. I've got some testing that I'm getting results back from tomorrow that I've been a little bit concerned about. And it's nothing really. But besides, God's got it. But, you know, just if you're out there and you're hearing this, say a prayer for the pastor and say a prayer for your communities. Be kind. Care about one another. You see somebody in need, give it to them. It's something. If you see a kid that needs a coat, get him one. You know, all those kind of things. If you see kids and adults, and check on our elderly, please. You know, so many of them are so alone. And if you have an elderly parent out there, I want to encourage you, check on them. They took care of you when you were in diapers. You take care of them when they're in theirs. That's what I tell my kids. Hey, God bless you guys. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number is 740-494-2222. Give me a call anytime. I will return your call. And God bless you. And Terry, we about out? What do we got? 30 seconds? Well, I'm going to fill up this 30 seconds. Hey, if you guys have a prayer request out there and you didn't get it on tonight, again, I am at 740-494-2222. Please leave it on the machine. I'll pick
it
up tomorrow.
Or could they put it on your Facebook page?
They can. At Community Christian Fellowship, we have a Facebook page. Look it up. Get on it. Or the Pastor Spot. We have Pastor Spot, too.
Oh.
So jump on there, too. God bless you guys, and have a good night.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio.